What's your name?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, it's Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side, now I'm 12 years. But on my father's side,
where are you from?
On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my father's side, that's on my father's side.
What's your name?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, it's Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side, now I'm 12 years. But on my father's side,
where are you from?
On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my father's side, on my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, it's Emmanuel. On my mother's side, now I'm 12 years. But on my father's side, just always been on my mother's side. I'm from Bethlehem, but on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem. On my mother's side, I'll be crucified, but on my father's side,
if you would go ahead and turn your Bibles tonight to Psalm 55, the book of Psalm, chapter 55. This morning I had the opportunity of teaching Doug McDerris' Sunday school class, and I emphasized the Word of God and its importance in our lives, and how it's like soap and water to the Christian, and how like soap and water to us physically, the Bible has no use for us unless we apply it. And we need to make sure we apply the Bible. And I sat and I sat in my house this afternoon, and I really thought about what I had taught this morning and what God had asked me to preach tonight. And the more and more I thought about it, the more and more it necessarily wasn't the greatest thing for me to apply to my life. But this is a message that is very important for me at this current moment. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to preach. I'm thankful that Pastor asked me to preach. But if you'd be in prayer for him while he's gone at this current moment, I know he would appreciate it, and his family would as well. A couple of years ago, Southwest Airlines had a commercial campaign, and all these commercials were based on scenarios that people would want to get away from. One of my favorite ones are these two guys, and they were playing a video game system, and they were talking about how the controls mimicked the motions that you'd made. And they had a nice big TV, and the guy's like, "Oh, awesome, I can pitch just like this great pitcher on the video game." And he takes the controller, and he throws it, and it smashes right into the guy's TV. And the next statement you hear is, "So you want to get away?" And it talks about a getaway vacation. Then another one that goes on is, there's a guy delivering water to a house, and he picks up a basketball that was sitting in the driveway, goes to make a basket in the basketball hoop, and the basketball proceeds to fly through the window of the residence he was delivering to. And like the other commercial said, it goes, "You want to get away?" And just recently at school, the school I work at, a student encountered a very similar situation. He was upset and decided he was going to throw a rock at my supervisor, but instead of the rock hitting my supervisor, the rock so elegantly sailed through the back windshield of my supervisor's car. And the very look on his face kind of had one of those moments, I bet he wanted to get away from that. You know, there's a lot of funny scenarios that we can laugh at other people that aren't very traumatic. They're not scary by any means, but they're kind of like, "Oh, that stinks. I'm sure he'd want to get away from that." And things happen in our lives where we'd like to get away, but we can't. And God does that for a reason. About a week or so ago, I heard a phrase that made me really want to get away from my current situation. I was led into a meeting at work, and a lady, a corporate officer, said, "You know, we regret to tell you guys, but we're shutting down your school. All of you will be losing your jobs." And I sat there, and it was kind of one of those "I really wanted to get away" moment. And I didn't want to have to go through what I knew was about to come. I wanted things to be easy, and I wanted things to be stable. But in the work of the Lord, that's not always the case. And as a Christian, and as a human being, that's not always the case. And I knew that ahead of me was a time of stretching that I would not want to have to go through, because it was going to be hard. And as human nature doesn't want to have to go through something hard. It's just like, you know, the Bible relays us to sheep. When you think about a sheep is not going to cross through the gate into its pen if there's an obstacle in its way. And human beings are the same way. It's not our nature necessarily to go and face a challenge, a difficult challenge, or want to face a difficult challenge head on. But those words, they had a big impact on my life, and I just kind of sat there and said, "I really, really want to get away right now." You know, I'd found a job outside of my responsibilities here, which are the most important, but I'd found a job outside of here that I really enjoyed, and God was using it to take care of my family. And now, so to speak, the rug had been yanked out from underneath me. And a lot goes through the mind of a man, a husband, and a new father when he realizes there's nothing he can do to fix his dilemma. That no matter what, hard times are on their way. Well, after that meeting, I walked out the front door of the academy determined to put on my tough face and not let it eat at me, because the Holy Spirit within me was reminding me, James, there's nothing to be worried about. Jesus Christ has promised everything's going to be okay. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Well, I love God. I love him with my whole heart. I've given my life to serve him. And I know that I'm called according to the purpose of God. I can claim that verse. I know everything's going to be okay. But unfortunately, I'm human. And there was a war going on within me that day. And later that night, as I got home from church and my wife and baby went to bed, I lay on the couch feeling totally helpless, and I knew what needed to be done. It was simple. Just go get another job. It's that simple. However, at that moment, it seemed like everything was too overwhelming, and I was unsure of what was going to happen to my family. I felt like I'd been backed into a corner, and I felt like I just wanted to wake up from this bad dream. I just wanted to get away. I wanted to grow wings and fly away from all of this. And as I poured out my heart to God early in the morning, I remembered that there was once a situation in David's life that he felt the very same way. And we see that here in Psalm 55, starting in verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity on me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Currently in King David's life, he was being pursued by some enemies, particularly those that were very close to him, as we later on see in Psalm 55. And David had a moment. He said, God, listen to me. I'm going through a hard time right now. And then he says, if I had wings that I could just fly away, then I could remain in the wilderness and none of this, I wouldn't have to deal with any of this at all. But David had responsibilities. He was the anointed king of Israel. He couldn't just run away from all of his problems. And we as human beings, we have responsibilities. We cannot just run away from all of our problems. I have responsibilities. My wife has responsibilities. Pastor, everybody here has a responsibility that they must fill. And running away from our problems isn't the answer. Whether it be we hear a situation of somebody that we love or ourselves are diagnosed with a sickness that we don't want to have to deal with, or that we're facing a financial situation that we don't want to have to deal with, or perhaps we're facing a big decision, like, you know, maybe God's going to take you out of your comfort zone and move you to somewhere you've never heard of, and you don't want to have to deal with that. Or maybe there's a big job change, any change or situation in your life that you think of that you wouldn't want to have to deal with. You're going to have to, because we have responsibilities that we must fulfill. And King David, though surrounded by his enemies, realized that flying away was not the answer. It isn't courageous, and it's not the right thing to do, to run away. And we must face the trials of our life with tenacity, bravery, courage, and ferocity. We cannot let trials overwhelm us, because then those who depend on us will suffer. I normally don't talk about myself a lot in sermons, but this is something that very recently it's going on right now. You know, if I reacted in a way where I just wanted to get away and I just walked out and left not wanting to deal with my problems, who would suffer in this? My wife and my little girl. She doesn't call me dad yet. Right now it's just, she grunts. It's really funny. I enjoy it. But, you know, I have a baby girl and I have a wife that are very dependent on my leadership in the home. And my leadership in the home is only as strong as my relationship with God is. And not only would they suffer, but there's 50 kids or so that I'm in touch with in a trailer park just down the road. And what kind of Christian example is Mr. James if he lets those kinds of things get to him? You know, there's the more I think about it, the more I realize there's a lot more to people that aren't necessarily dependent on me, but watch my reactions and I can affect them for the rest of their lives than I would. A lot more people in my life like that than I would really, you know, want to admit, but there are. God has given me that responsibility. But what are we supposed to do when things like that happen? Well, David outlined it very simply in 3 points here in Psalm 55. The first one, we need to call on God. Our first reaction always must be to call on the Lord. Number two, we must remember the victories of the past. And number three, we must move forward and fight on. So point number one, call on God. Here in verse 16, David says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." What did David say he was going to do? He said, "I want to fly away. I want to get away from it all because of what is going on with these people that were, I thought were my friends, but now they're my enemies. What am I going to do? This is what I want to do, but what must I do?" David said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." He said, not for anybody else, but for me, what I know I am supposed to do, I'm going to call upon God. We call on God through what? Through prayer. Prayer is the way that we communicate with the Lord. I'm so thankful that we don't have to pray through somebody to get to God. I'm thankful that when Jesus Christ sacrificed himself on the cross, the temple veil was rent in two. It was split down the middle, symbolizing the fact that we have now direct access to God. I am so grateful for that. You know, when I prayed and I asked God for help, I wasn't praying to inform God. God already knew what was going on. And God already knows the trials that we have faced, we will face, and that we are facing currently. We don't pray to inform God, but you know, God wants us to pray and ask for his help. His help is promised if we ask for it. And David said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." David understood the promises of God. That if I call on God and I ask for his help, he will. It is a definite fact. No buts about it. God will help me. God will save me. He said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice." Evening, morning, noon. That's all day. Every part of the day, David said, "I will cry unto God. I will pray to God, and he will hear my voice." God promises that if we pray, he will hear our voice. But in order for him to hear our voice, we must pray. And sometimes praying and asking God for help isn't our first reaction, and it needs to be. My first reaction, honestly, was, okay, I'm going to call a couple people, I'm going to get some leads on jobs, and I'm just going to get this done right away. But my first reaction should have been, I need to stop, I need to pray, and I need to seek the Lord's face. Lord, what will you have me to do in this current situation? God, what is your will? Because if I go off and get a job without seeking the Lord's face about it, without asking what job he would have me to have, I run a great risk of getting into a position that God didn't want me to get into. And that'll affect the rest of my family and all of those around me. And I don't want it to be that way. We need to call on God. We need to call on God constantly, no matter what's going on. Well, then David remembered the victories of the past. Do you know that God doesn't do great things in our lives just so that we can forget about it down the road? It's God does great things in our lives so that we can give him the glory and that we can remember those landmarks. In verse 18, David said, "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God." David said, "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me." David said, there was a battle against me, and God did deliver my soul. And you think about all the other past things that David experienced. God did deliver his soul. David didn't pray and just say, okay, I prayed, and just stop and wait. Like, oh, what do I do now? And wringing his hands, he prayed, and then he said, you know what? God did it. God delivered my soul from my enemies. There was a past victory in my life. You know, there's past victories in my life that I can look back onto. So what's ahead may be scary, but what are things similar to the situation that God's provided? Well, when I got married, I had like $100 in my pocket, if that. But you know what? When my wife and I got home from the honeymoon, the bank account was bigger than it had ever been in my entire life. It was great. It was wonderful. Why? God provided. God met a need. I didn't have to go and ask for money or beg for money. The person that I needed the one person that I asked money from was the Lord. I said, "Lord, we need your help." And God helped us. That's a past victory in my life. Well, what's another victory? Well, God blessed my wife and I with a wonderful house. It's great. Dropped right in our laps. And God has provided us to live there. If that's not a victory, I don't know what we would consider a victory. And what's another great victory in my life? As I was thinking, you know, 10 years ago, I was on my way to hell. And I realized that without Jesus Christ in my life, if I did not accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, heaven would not be my home. And I knew that, but I had to swallow my pride and realize, although I grew up in church, and I was 14 years old at this point, and I acted like a good kid, I needed a Savior. And I was done caring what other people thought, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior 10 years ago in July. That's a major past victory in my life. And we can think about the great things that God has done. I don't believe anything happens by chance. I believe it's all a matter of the working hand of God in our life. And if we look back, if we think really hard, we can think about great things God has done. And I think about great things God has done in the lives of other people. You know, I remember a time when Rachel Kissinger was born, and we were praying with regards to possibly a defect with her skull. And God answered that prayer. There was no problem. They went to the specialist. There was no problem. I think about my little girl. I was contemplating the possibility of growing up or raising a little girl that would be deaf. But the Lord answered our prayer, and she has no hearing problems whatsoever. God has done great victories in the lives of the people of this church. And when we go through hard times, when we go through the struggles in lives, we must remember the victories of the past, the things that God has done for us. Because if we do not, what motivation is there to continue forward? We can pray to God all we want, and God will help us. But if we don't think about what else has God done in my life at this current moment, and what an encouragement it is to think about the working hand of God in our lives. David not only called on God, David not only remembered the victories of the past, but he decided, I'm going to move forward, I'm going to cast my burden to the Lord, and I'm just going to continue on. You know, Paul said that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul faced a lot of adversity in his life. But Paul determined, no matter what, I'm going to press on. I'm going to continue with what the Lord wanted me to do. Well, in verse 22 of Psalm 55, David said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust thee. David said, cast thy burden on the Lord. Take it off of you and get rid of it. Cast it. I'm sure many of us have gone fishing here. I love to go fishing. Every April we go fishing, opening day of trout season. I love it. This year I actually got to catch some fish instead of watch Philip catch fish. That was great. I had a lot of fun. Fishing's a lot. You know, they say, oh, I'll have fun if I don't catch any fish. I'm sorry. If I'm not catching fish, I'm not having a lot of fun. But, you know, as I would take my rod and reel and I would cast the bait down the river, we need to do the same thing with our burdens. But with our burdens, there's no strings attached. We just take it and we cast it on God. And God, it doesn't bother God any. God wants us to do that. God wants us to cast our burdens on Him. That's why He's here. That's why He did what He did on the cross. God wants us to ask for His help. God wants our burdens. A man that, you know, God, the Creator God, that loved us so much that He died on the cross for our sins. He wants us to cast our burdens on Him. Cast thy burdens on the Lord. But David said, He will sustain thee. If you cast your burdens on God, God promises that He will sustain you. He will give you the strength to continue on. He will give you the strength to move forward. But what must we do first? We must cast our burdens on the Lord. For a while I felt that my burdens were mine to hold and mine to carry. Nobody else was going to do that. But how human and how foolish it is to think that way. And then I came to this passage of Scripture one night at work. And I realized I need to cast my burdens on the Lord. I don't need to just pray and ask God for help, but I need to fully deliver myself from the burden that I'm carrying and trust God and move on. Because if I don't just trust God and move on and I let that drag me down, that's going to hinder the progress that I could have in my Christian life. And if we have hindered progress in our Christian life, if we're not moving forward for God, that affects more than just us. And most importantly, it does affect our relationship with God. And I want my relationship with God to be as close as it ever could be. And David remembered that he needed to cast his burdens on the Lord. So where do we go from here? I must every day ask for God's help. I must remember the victories. I've had times of struggle before, but it does us no good to sit in a corner and pout about it. And talk about it, and let it dwell on us, and let us worry about it. Sitting in a corner doesn't get it done. But we have to get up and dust ourselves off and move forward and determine to fight on for the Lord Jesus Christ. No sense in pouting and worrying. Those things don't get anything accomplished, not only here on earth, but most importantly for the work of the Lord. And you know, it stinks, but it's time to move on. And if we are not paying attention as we need to be, if we are not calling on God, if we're not remembering past victories, if we are not casting our burdens on the Lord and moving on, we're going to miss an important growing opportunity that is presently available in times of struggle. You know, one thing that I've really learned through all of this, and if I wasn't paying attention, I wouldn't have the appreciation for it, but there is a thirst that this world cannot satisfy. Every day, you know, I kind of got guilty of just living. Oh, this job's going to take care of me. You know, this is going to take care of me. I was relying on earthly things to take care of me. And if I hadn't stopped and let the Lord do a work in my life, I wouldn't realize that there are things that this was very revealing of the fact that, you know what, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I was talking to a friend earlier, and we were both talking, you know, God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and you know what? I'm ready for Him to sell a few cows. You know, and He promises that He will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I cannot wait until I get to spend forever in heaven. I can't wait for the rapture. And you know, if I die, That's cool too, because you know what? I'm going to heaven. But I can't wait to spend eternity in the presence of my Lord and Savior. Why? Because there's the needs that I truly need, this world will never be able to satisfy. It's only through God. It's only through God that the complete needs of man will be satisfied. And if I wasn't paying attention to that, I wouldn't realize that. You know, God had told Adam and Eve that when he cursed the ground, he cursed it for their sake. And sometimes God sends trials in our lives for our sake. And if we're not paying attention, we're going to miss out on the blessings that are available. But we need to, instead of pouting and worrying about it, we need to make sure that we pay attention. You know, David wrote something that I used to finish this off, and I apply it to my life, and it's oh so comforting. It's Psalm 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He didn't say that the Lord is our shepherd, although he is. He didn't say the Lord is this guy's shepherd, although God is the shepherd of all his children. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Whose shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. God's my shepherd. Because God is my shepherd, I have no reason to want. Because my needs are already met. I may not see it, but my needs are already met because God has promised that. Why? Because he's my shepherd. Well, what else does he do? He taketh me to lie down in green pastures. He'll take me to a place where I can be comforted and that'll be safe. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. In times of distress, God will refresh me so that and give me the energy that I need to continue on for him. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, not for my sake, for his name's sake. Everything we do for the sake of the Lord. Jesus Christ did not die, and we did not die so that we could accept him and do everything for our sake. Jesus Christ died, we could accept him as our Lord and Savior, know for sure that we'd go to heaven, because according to what the Bible says, and then live our lives for him. A man that gave his life for us, it is only oh so fair that we give our lives in return for him. And then David goes on to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Well, why could David fear no evil? Because he says, "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, the rod and the staff have two very different uses. One being for correction and the other one being for guiding. Sometimes it's not fun to be corrected by the Lord, but it's important, and we need to listen. Sometimes it's not fun to be guided either. You know, sometimes when a sheep gets off their way, the shepherd's going to have to beat the sheep on the side, or even with you beat the sheep on the side to make sure it stays on course. And I'm thankful for the people that the Lord has placed in my life to make sure I stay on the course that God wants me to be on. Make sure that I serve the Lord with my life. I'm thankful for God, that a God that won't let me forget that the night before I turned 19 years old, I surrendered my life to him to preach and to minister. I'm thankful for a God that's going to keep me accountable through his word. It's not fun all the time to be corrected and guided, but we need it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God will prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. There will be safety and security even in the presence of our enemies. And then thou anointest my head with oil. Thy cup runneth over. The blessings of God will run over. They'll spill out everywhere. The blessings of God in our life are more than enough to meet our needs. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's the biggest thing I can look forward to in all of this time? That one day, no matter what happens here, one day I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in the presence of my God. And I'm so looking forward to that. I'm grateful for it. So, want to get away? Right now, I don't want to. Why? Because God has got blessings in this time. And I know, according to the Bible, that all of my needs will be met. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I've called on God and I've asked Him. I've remembered the victories of the past. And now there's nothing else to do but continue in that pattern and move forward for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we must make sure that we all do the same together as a church. God has placed us here in Fletcher, North Carolina, for a very important purpose. And the people of Fletcher really need us to make sure that we move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ.